Well, welcome back. And we've got the gorgeous Abby Day on today from Gypsy Bella. Welcome.
Thank you.
One of probably the biggest fashion brands from Liverpool and UK. And it's just getting bigger and bigger, Ab. So it's amazing to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, you're welcome. So we're really honoured, aren't we?
And absolutely.
I think for us, because I followed your journey. I think I used to buy off you when you very first started. I remember the little polka dot top I got.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Wow, yes.
I literally wore it with a pair of little leather shorts. I remember where I went, G-bar and everything.
Oh, gosh.
And I loved the top. And do you know what? It's funny because...
Little wrap.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do.
And I think you'd only just started then, Ab, so it'll be gorgeous to obviously... Let us kind of delve into you, the highs, the lows, what it's like being Gypsy Bella and running Gypsy Bella.
Yeah, I feel like obviously I started just as a hobby. That's what I was saying to you before. Like I feel like when I started, it weren't like I'm going to start this for money.
Yeah.
I want to get money out of this. I actually didn't really care about the money. I just started it because I loved it.
Yeah. Were you working at the same time as that?
I was working at the same time. Yeah. Oh, I worked everywhere. You name the place, I've worked everywhere. I've worked in Carphone Warehouse.
Yeah.
I've worked in Yodel. I'd never been out of a job, but I was always on agency work. So I was just here, there and everywhere. And then I started Gypsy Bella when I was working in a solicitor's.
Yeah.
Got like this job as a paralegal and I just... Thought I was it. I thought, oh, paralegal. Paralegal. And I started Gypsy Bella and I just found myself falling out of love with the job that I was doing. Yeah. Finding myself always on my phone and stuff, which I shouldn't have been, but I was just so invested in Gypsy Bella at that time. I think the very beginning, I was just buying and selling stuff. I didn't actually invest any money into it at all.
Wow.
So people had just paid me and then I'd order it, like on a pre-order. So I didn't put any money in, and people were just giving me, and that's how I was able to build my money up and not actually risk any money at the time. But I just found it getting busier and busier. And then I think at that point of me feeling like, wow, I can't work in this solicitors anymore was when I launched all the hoodies. So it might have just been after all them little bits that I used to sell.
So I remember getting the top because I'd just had my boobs done. Because I remember looking, thinking, oh, my boobs look fabulous. So that must have been 2017.
Yeah,
so
might have been.
Because I remember ordering because you were Instagram based then as well, Ab. So if you think, God, like to stay so sustainable 8 years on, that's incredible, isn't it?
Like at that time as well, we didn't have no website.
Yeah.
I don't even think I even registered the business. It was just a little sad hustle. I was thinking, like, every penny I can get right now, I'm skint.
Absolutely,
I didn't have any money. I was in major debt as well at that time.
Wow.
So, like, again, it's mad that I was in so much debt and I didn't think this could make me money. I was literally just doing it because
make a little bit,
do myself well in something that I was interested in.
Yeah.
And then I'd done my hoodies and they really took off and I'd done all the gypsy skirts and I was just selling out and out. And I remember just getting to a point in the bank and I was like, oh, I've got a bit of money now for myself.
Yeah.
And I was able to just sort myself out. And I feel like as time's gone on, it's just got so much harder though. Like back then, I feel like I just loved it so much.
The passion, you kind of probably seen the money coming in. And how old would you have been then, Abs?
How old was I then? So how old was I in 23 then?
Wow, so a baby really.
Baby.
And literally, were you always quite creative or was it just with it? Because I know that's like me when I started to do my business. I'd work in jobs and I just couldn't be told what to do. My God, get me out, get what I mean? So when I kind of come into aesthetics, that was when my creative streak came and it was just like...
Very ill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I can imagine, was that something similar with yourself, Abs?
Yeah, I feel like I always ask myself now, like, why couldn't I work in an office? Like, I've got an office now in our unit. I hate being in there.
Yeah.
I don't like being sat in a one space. I can't work in that like environment. I have to like be at home comfortable and I have to be there and everywhere and just like even if I'm driving I'll come up with ideas. I just felt like as you said, I could never really be told what to do.
Yeah.
And then I feel like back then, again, the passion sort of outweighed any other idea of becoming a business or wanting to make money or anything. I was doing it because I loved it.
Absolutely.
And I wanted people to see what I loved and if everyone loves what I love, then that'd be my little reward. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I remember you back then, to be fair, and you were always so unique in your own little fashion sense and everything.
Because I can't
jump. You've always stayed like that, you get what I mean? And I think that's it. When something's so like identifiable with someone, because it is just you, it's just an extension of you. I would always say Gypsy Bella, do you get what I mean? You're authentic into your own brand. You will wear your own brand and you believe in it so much that I believe that's why Gypsy Bella flew, do you get what I mean?
Because
it was your own, you created your own fan base and it just grew and grew and grew.
And I think because at that time, no one had their own business on Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram wasn't a thing then.
Yeah.
Like, when I was in school, I didn't even have Instagram until a few years before that. So I was one of the first ones.
Everyone was still having doggies on, wasn't they? Never yeah. Doggy
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we used to love them filters. Get me them back. God, no filters now. But yeah, I used to love all that. Like, and I feel like at that time, like, everyone was just finding this new app.
Yeah.
And it was a way to, like, really capture your whole audience, and everyone was dead intrigued in what you were doing. And it was peak Instagram at that time, whereas it's just majorly saturated right now. So you've gone from all of your followers always seeing what you were doing.
Yeah.
So you were, so like, even like with your aesthetics and your aesthetics, you'll probably know how much of percentage do you actually sort of reach out, what's your reach with your followers?
Absolutely. I find like before COVID, it was so easy to reach your followers and grow a following. Now,
it's
like a full-time job, Instagram.
It
you have to employ someone to do it because it's just so hard, I find. It's,
yeah, like
we just said that then, haven't we, about it?
Yeah.
Because we've got, obviously our business is online, but for us to pay someone to do our marketing, that's then coming out of our profit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you've just said, you've created the brand, people are following you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your desire of what you love and everything. But they only like pictures of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So pictures of you in your clothing,
sell.
Pictures of girls who are not you in your clothing aren't selling as well. And it's exactly that with us, isn't it? Pictures of us, or even just drawing on our faces, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goes wild before and after.
Doesn't
you don't really get much.
Yeah.
But I find that with Instagram as well over
and
the last few
you'd
years.
You'd think it would as well. You'd think a before and after it'd be your sort of main point of selling because you're showing the results sort of thing. But I was saying to you before, wasn't I, like, I feel like all of us have all got something in common, which is like a personal brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if people or your followers have followed you, this is what I was saying before, is people were following you from however many years ago.
Yeah.
They've followed your journey. So I feel like it's all based on how you start your business and or your social media. If you started your social media with models and you found your own niche of how to sort of portray that onto your audience, and you had your own way of doing things. So if you were drawing on your model and that was your little sort of USP on how you would sell your products, whether it's aesthetics or products or whatever it is, or clothes, that would always work well because that's what people have always known you to do.
Yeah.
If people have followed your brand for you, they followed your journey. When you introduce new people, it's like, who's that? I don't recognise them. It's like an immediate eject reaction of like, I don't recognize them, so I don't, I'm not familiar with them, or I'm not going to engage in that because I don't know them. Where it's like, oh, well, like Claire, or oh, well, like this, or whatever. I just feel like they're more familiar with that account.
No, and it's true because we've been seeing this ourselves, haven't we? And literally, when it's you, it's like, okay, I'll dive. And sometimes, like with all this disruptive marketing now, they don't even need to see the results. They just know that they're coming to that page and they know what they're getting.
Yes.
Do you get what I mean? So it's kind
the trust of you as well. Especially if it's a reoccurring client, I find that word of mouth is always a good way of getting business. But if it's somebody new, first thing I would do, like I was saying before, is I'd go onto the page and you'd view the pictures.
Yeah.
So you would expect a before and after to be the selling point of the page. But then I would also delve in who actually owns this business.
Mm. Well, it's nosiness, isn't
it? Yeah. And I'd look, and then I'd go on the personal page.
And they want to kind of see, like, oh, what is it that's kind of, what does she do? What's the background
that's
to
exactly
her?
And it. People are so nosy.
That's exactly, because that's how I grew my following originally before COVID. I put myself on there before anyone was doing it.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, who's this person? No one's doing this, but she's actually shown me so much of her life. But and back then I was quite like, still a bit closed off. So then what you got then was opinions being made And it was like, I reckon she's probably quite snotty. And it was like,
same.
Do you actually know me?
Yeah. People used to come up to me on a night out. I remember I was in Vice once.
Yeah.
And I was just having a ball. You know what I'm like? I love a ball. And she's come up to me and gone, I thought you were dead snotty. And I thought, oh no, I'm just like not paying attention to anything. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, like come in and we'll just have, we had like a good time then. But again, it's people's perception, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I do feel like people want to know the ins and outs. And one of the things that I've wrote on my list for this week for like a content idea just was like finding like the ins and outs of your process or like what it is that you do. I feel like you need to be as transparent as possible.
Absolutely.
With aesthetics or with products that I'm selling. So if I'm selling an item and I'm not being transparent with the process, where they've been made, what fabrics we've used, why we've made this item, who's it suitable for, and trying to let people know all of the reasons why we've created this design, they're not as invested.
Yeah.
And they're less likely to buy, I think, and I think that would go for anything too.
Yeah. How does that kind of, because that's a huge process, because obviously me looking in, I'd think Gypsy Bella, kind of you went to like kind of like conferences and you'd find like, you'd go as a buyer and stuff like that, but you actually design all your work and everything, Abs. Like that must be like,
So hard.
Yeah. I think I'd seen a little post that you'd done and it was just how you were back into the cutting of the fabric, back into to kind of the supplier.
Oh, I'd seen that actually. And I thought same thing. I thought, yeah, oh, she's got a work cut out there with that. Because it's like, you've got to agree to everything because it's your brand.
Yeah.
You don't want to then sell it and have complaints where people won't return them. So it's a big, long process, isn't it, of getting it right, because then it impacts on who else is going to come to you then. Yeah.
Definitely. I think like that's one of the main problems that I'm faced with right now. One thing that I wanted to say on the last subject was that you've gone from loving what you do to now being a content creator that I never was. I just posted what I love.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just in my mum and dad's bathroom posting my picture and I just got loads of love for it.
Yeah.
And I was happy with it because I loved it. I wanted to sell it and that was it.
Yeah.
Where now you have to do this whole process and I am just finding it so hard at the moment, because if I've got to be the face, then And I'm the one that shows everyone around, because I want it my way, not like in a controlling way, but obviously you want it to look a certain way. Then that is a full-time job. You have to write ideas down every day for content. The whole process is just exhausting. And as you said then about returns, it's like, how do you know that this is going to be for everyone? How do you know you're not going to get returned? You just don't know.
Yeah.
And it might not be for everyone and you might get a shock and stuff like that. And it's just, it's a lot, you know. And when I very first started, I just bought and sold.
Yeah.
So there's this stigma associated with Gypsy Bella, which is we still buy from AliExpress, right? I wish I still bought from AliExpress and could sell. I did start Gypsy Bella by selling from AliExpress when no one knew about AliExpress.
Okay.
And everyone slates me now because they think that I still buy from AliExpress, but I don't.
Yeah.
And swear down to that I don't. I'll look at there for a little bit of inspo.
Surely that's where most probably go to as well. Do you know what I mean? Does. It's like,
like the reason why you can't sell now is because everyone goes there to shop now anyway.
Yeah.
There's nowhere like it. There's loads of different stuff on there. So a girl in our way, Katie, loves it.
Yeah.
So I would never I'd never go on there and try and make money off that. Now I need to, obviously times have changed. I need to venture into my own stuff. But the difference in buying and selling compared to making your own stuff is huge. It impacts cash flow. It impacts your time. So where I might be able to go and buy something and think, oh, that's nice, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Now it's a 3-month process for me. I've got to sit and design it. Yeah. I've got to think about fabrics. I've got to think about, is it suitable for everyone?
Yeah.
Is it really our brand? And the minimums are like 300 pieces minimum that you've got to pay.
Yeah.
So you need a bulk of cash. That's just for one item. So it's a whole...
If it doesn't sell that, even that, it's a risk,
it's
isn't it, when
risk.
You think it, and it's like...
So just to put it into perspective, when we come to our Christmas time, like Christmas just gone, we had a whole collection of like 25 items.
Yeah.
That nearly cost us like £80,000.
Wow.
Just for them items, samples, everything. We didn't know whether any of them were going to sell.
Yeah.
And we just hoped they would. And at that time, it's sort of, you've just sort of got to strike while the iron's hot at Christmas, because everyone loves everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And then it's trying to incorporate Christmas into every month and make sure you're doing sort of that every month, but it's just impossible to do, and I'm just struggling at the moment with it.
Oh, do you know, and that's what's hard, isn't it? Because I think that's where the perspective changes when it comes to Instagram and that, Abs, as well. People will look into the like your life and think, oh my God, I mean, you're doing absolutely amazing, but think that it's all roses and breeze walks in the park and everything, but they don't see the mental effects that it comes with, and staying definitely positive not. Every day and having things that are also going on in your personal life. Like, obviously, I know on a personal level, I know kind of the things that you've gone through with family members being poorly and stuff like that. And they kind of just have this assumption that everything, and you probably get then the copycats that jump on because they think it's so easy, but they don't see the actual effects.
It's mad. Like, it's crazy. Like, I feel like all of them points just sort of go into one another, and like, no one realises how hard it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people just think that they can do it, and I applaud anyone to just get up and do it, and anyone who's doing well at the moment, like, it's amazing. If they are, I just find it's so hard when you have like a little bit of a lifestyle change, or like my dad, for example, when he was sick, or like split up with my ex-boyfriend and my whole life changed, I lost my last house, just everything. And I just lost myself during that whole process that happened at the same time, my dad being sick. So I don't feel like no one realises.
And you know what, Abs, so even just that, and to be fair, what you'd probably still have only been 27, 28 at this point. So that pressure on a 28-year-old to then think, you know what, I just want to go and have a ball.
Yeah.
And to think that you can't fully do it without kind of, because you've still got this huge business. Because let's remember, this isn't just a localised city business. This is like a full-blown global business that you've got. And to think when you probably thought, I just want to go and...
I did.
F off to Ibiza for a few months, but then to have that pressure thinking, how do I sustain this business without all this pressure?
It could have caused you
down
though. It really could have put you to the point of thinking, do you know what, towels in.
No, I did. No, I did. So when all that happened to me, right, I thought, I don't care. I could have lost everything. Like, I remember thinking, I'm going to buy my car, I'm going to do this. And I was seeking external happiness at that time because I was so unhappy with my whole life. And I remember thinking, if I don't have this business, I don't care. Like, nothing can make me feel any worse than I do right now. But then, obviously, you get to your lowest point and you think, do you know what? I've worked so hard for this. I need to work hard for this. And feel like I'm back to a similar point now where I'm falling in love with what I do again. I'm falling in love with Gypsy Ballad again, because it took me so long to get back to where I am. Just like a little brief thing that ruined me, it was losing my house that I had.
Yeah,
I haven't had my own house. It was what on my goal. I've now got my own house again, and it's really brought me back down to like realize what I love. And I just feel like it's so hard from like people on the outside. Like, I remember some girl, I was in like that Bramley. Oh, no, not Bramley, more like the Cane's Brewery. I was there. She took me in the toilet and she was like, I look at you and I want to be you and I just love your life. And I just sat her down and I just said, sit down here for a minute because I'm going to tell you about my life right now.
And is it nice just someone listening to your abs? Because, like, you know, someone just take the time and you being able to, like, just discuss that with her. Someone who takes such, like, inspiration from you, and then you can sit there and say, this is what I'm going through. And Betty, she sat there and listened word for word from you and took
it in. Oh, she did. She was like, no, because she would have never thought I had any problems going on in my life. And I just said, my life might look fab on social media. I might look like I'm going on these holidays and having a ball. Yeah. And everyone who sees me, oh, you're smashing it, you're smashing it. No one even knows the art of what my days involve. Do you know what I mean? And I just had to bring her back down to earth and just say, my life is not like what you think it is. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I really love, though, about Gypsy Bella? And I think you've stayed true to this from day one, is like your girls. I don't think people realize, unless they know you, your core group of employees and girls who model is actually your core friendship group.
Yeah.
And I feel like where you probably wanted to throw the towel in, they probably kept you together and was like, no, look what you've got.
100%.
And you can see even through the years, they've stayed so loyal to you. And
wow,
I think
if
one of them dresses isn't on one of the girls again, you're just like, it sells because it's on one of the girls again, and you know it's a friendship group that kind of support each other.
I'm lucky in that way. Like, I feel like that was one of the things I mentioned a few months ago. I was like, if I wake up one day and I am having a bad day, I have got such an amazing support network around me, and they do make me realise what's important, because I don't think anyone even realises how down I do get. Like, I'm not getting out the bed. I am not getting out that bed that day. I'm staying in bed. And they just really make me realise what's important on them down days. And I want, that's one advice that I'd always give everyone. It's just like, speak to people.
Yeah.
Anyone around you who's there for you and can help you when you're not feeling down just makes me feel like, do you know what? I've got people here who I need to work for.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Chelsea's just had a baby, hasn't she? Yeah. And every day I think about it. I'm like, I'm doing this for you when you're older.
Because the baby's always on Instagram. She's my reason why now. She makes a little appearance now and then, and it's just gorgeous to see, isn't it? And I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think when you start anything like this and it starts to grow, you just chase and chase and chase the success. And then you get to that point and you realise you're so kind of like stuck, not stuck in like, but whereas like people think it's just so easy, but it's like, do you know what? It comes with so much kind of like, what's the word?
Just like
commitment, but then also kind of, what's the word? Like,
I know what you're trying to say. Like, just like hard work, basically it comes with like consequences and sacrifices.
Absolutely, yeah. And whereas people just don't see that side of it with it all.
No.
But definitely I found not. That with our business, I've always had people, well, Andrew, my partner, he says this quite a lot to me. So people who, and actually as an example, one of the girls who I do know who's just trained in aesthetics, she didn't train with me, but she has spoken to me since, had said, well, I just see social media and I just see girls who do aesthetics just doing dead well and successful and all this. And I was like, you've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
You really have got it all wrong. I am where I am today because I started years ago.
Yeah.
The reason we are successful is because we never give up.
Yeah.
The reason we are where we are today is because I've had to miss taking my kids to school.
Yeah.
I've had to miss going on nights out. I have had to put my every penny of my income, even when I first started borrowing money off my best friends, to put into the business to create what I've got now, where people I find are doing these quick courses over a day and they think the day after I'm going to have 10 grand.
No, they think they're going to be an overnight millionaire.
Yeah. And it's real, isn't it? And it'll be the same with you, with your business. You'll find these people who are trying to sell clothes from, like you say, AliExpress.
Yeah.
Nothing against that because, like you say, you started that 100%. Way. But they're looking at you as a business and thinking, well, if she started that way,
I'll do it.
But it's the bit behind the scene that people don't see, do they?
It's the evil eye that comes, isn't it? And I think because they don't see every chapter that goes on to the success, it's that, well, why aren't I as big as her right now? And it's like, take it back, the comparison side of things that we were talking about earlier. And it's like, then the evil eye comes in and then they're trying to then bring you down. And it's like, you know, whenever anyone's quite successful, it's because they're all about collaboration and being collaborative, not kind of pulling people down. And
definitely. I feel like that's one of the main things right now, as I was saying earlier, is that I feel like I am comparing a lot. And I do feel like you are so right. Like, I feel like a lot of people do. Like, anyone who's starting now, the only reason they're starting is because they've seen. And there's nothing wrong at all with being inspirational. Like, I will look at people and go, do you know what? If they can do it, I'm going to do my own little thing.
Yeah.
And I think it always, I always say this, it always boils down to don't do it for money, do it because you love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you love what you do, it will just come.
Yeah.
The money will come. But if you're doing it because you need this money and you're like, oh, why have they got more than me? It's just not going to work.
It doesn't come, does it? That abundance stops because what it is, you're starting to be so focused on literally something coming in and this like kind of like obsession with like, I need to be like that, I need to be like that. But what we were saying on this podcast last week, everyone's path's different. Gypsy Bella was always meant to be your path, not someone else's path. And that's kind of how people need to realise. Be inspired, but don't try and think that you have to ruin someone else or compete with them because that's not your path. Your path's better again for you. Do you get what I mean?
So you were saying before, isn't it? Everyone's on their own little, in their own lane and stuff like that. And you know what? I think it's sort of a sad thing, to be honest, because I've never felt, I'm not a jealous person.
Yeah.
I wish everyone well. Hope everyone does amazing, no matter what they're doing.
And you're always the person, whenever you're seen out, you literally got the biggest smile on you, the most friendliest abs, you get what I mean? You can always be, you'll come up to you and you're absolutely a ball.
Yeah.
And that always shows from you as well.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm not that type of person. I would never wish anyone bad or anything like that. So anyone that does wish, not even wish people bad, but are jealous in some ways or try and tear people down, I just think it's sad, isn't it, that people do feel like that because they obviously wish they were at a different stage in their life and stuff like that. And If the world, if everyone could be different, it'd be a better place. Yeah. But obviously, it's just something that we've got to deal with. And I think when you do get to a certain point, there might be girls looking at both of you and think, yeah. oh, I'm only just starting out and I'm not getting as many sales as them. Or even if they've been doing it for a few years and it's slower. And I think this with so many businesses right now is a lot of people, including myself, by the way, are doubting their own business. Like, I feel like this time that we're in right now is a very hard time. Everyone who I'm speaking to.
There's just no disposable money around and everything. And that's what I think people sometimes, you just got to think everyone's struggling, no matter what size business you've got, how much capital you've got, how much assets. Unfortunately, when they come with bigger bills and bigger overheads and everything. So everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah.
Just have empathy and compassion for everyone. Like, and I always say this, and I always say, you never know who you sat next to as well. There could always be an opportunity there or something opens up. We've been saying this, isn't it? And I always say, just take the time to talk.
Yeah.
Open up and reach out to people because people will help.
Well, there's nothing better for me. What I've found as well is the network and even just speaking to you today and stuff like that, you know, with like-minded people. Like, I've got my girls who work for me who are amazing and Chrissy's amazing. And me and her are just like each other's, just stressed all the time. But I don't have anyone else. Like, my mum and dad will always be there for me. My boyfriend will always be there for me. Like, got an amazing support network, but you need someone who's also in the same industry to, like, give you a little bit of advice or, and I think going to, like, any networking opportunities or taking the time to speak to people or reaching out on social media or anything like that is an amazing way to sort of get your own advice and sort of progress with your own self, basically.
And that's what it comes down to again, isn't it? It's that kind of self-love where we've come onto, like, social media, like, we've been discussing it a lot lately, just the effects of it that it has, like people going on there and you're comparing against things that aren't real, but how much effect that has on. And do you find this as well, Abs?
I feel like never in my life have I ever compared myself as much as not.
Yeah.
Like, not myself, but my business. Like,
wow.
One thing that I wanted to say is, and this is one thing that I feel like a lot of businesses are doing, including myself, like, I'm comparing myself right now. I'm thinking, am I doing good? Aren't I doing good? But I don't think any of us realise the different times of life and, like money situations. So we're currently going into a recession, or we are basically in a recession. Everything's skyrocketed.
Absolutely.
Businesses are falling. There's, like, however many millionaires leaving the UK every 10 minutes because the taxes are just going up and up and up and things like that. So I don't think anyone really realises the current times that we are in. But because people might not realise that, you then begin to doubt yourself.
Yeah.
You think, oh, well, it's not the life that we're living in, it's me, I'm wrong, I'm selling the wrong thing, or my things aren't selling. So it goes from, like, not actually realising that people might not have money right now, or like, just for example, things are a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
And I think right now it is just about trying to survive in the current crisis that we're in, but also not doubting yourself and doing what you love, because you can lose yourself so quick.
Yeah.
And as soon as you lose yourself, it's so hard to get back up.
And you know what? It's a great example that you've just brought up there, because it's like PLT. PLT, the Kumanis left and it just kind of plummeted. And it just goes to show with Gypsy Bell and yourself, you have always stayed key to that USP of it being yourself and being, like, kind of still the face of it. That when you're seeing PLT and the Kumanis come back to bring it back up, it just goes through sometimes.
That's what's needed.
Yeah.
But can I mention that point? So basically, I wanted to speak about this rebrand that they were doing because that's an amazing point about what I was just saying. Like, he's come back, but he's obviously come back because certain things weren't selling.
Absolutely.
But if you look at the comments, everyone's moaning about this new collection. So in my eyes, he has conformed to the clean girl aesthetic.
Yeah.
He has stripped away everything that PLT was ever started from. And he is now conformed to how everyone else is, like Molly May's new brand and Ob Muse vibe and things like that. He has sort of gone that way, but I feel like he's lost what PLT was by conforming. So I understand he needed to come back, but I think he should have just dropped collections. Like, this maybe should have been a collection of a clean girl aesthetic collection.
Yeah.
And then bring back a few little bits and bobs of what PLT was, rather than saturating the market with a load of bit of shit, excuse me language.
No, absolutely,
And then drop collections, which were a little bit different or tailored to different things, instead of rebranding the whole thing and losing the heart of what I believe PLT was and the reason why people shop there.
Absolutely.
Everyone's moaning about this corset being like £60. And I get that it's expensive. No one can afford £60 right now. Like, this is what all the comments are saying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this corset's fully lined, double lined. It's tailored. It's got darts all over it. It's got buttons. So you go and pay that somewhere else. So I just feel like, again, it's the transparency, what I was saying 2 years earlier. Yeah. I feel like if he was more transparent where about where he got his fabric, what production he's, where he's producing his items, the behind the scenes of it all, I think that that would have flew out.
Because I think what it is, because his, again, because his core audience hasn't changed, he's trying to change their perception
That's
of
the
it.
Thing.
Do you get what I mean?
You have to know your audience.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've learned from PLT's rebrand, you know, is know your audience and don't conform.
Yeah.
Like, they loved you for you. It's like what we were saying about our being the face. It's like, they love you for you, just carry on being you and doing what you love.
And it's the same with aesthetics. So when I first started, I was a lot younger. I was 30. My audience and my clients were younger, but they grow with me.
Yeah.
So now I'm not your girls that young girls will go to for lips, because that's not my audience no more. My audience are coming up to 40 and they've got skin laxity problems. They're all about kind of like anti-aging, but in a more natural way, because we're getting older and less is more.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of change. Okay, well, I can't... These packages I used to sell out with, they're not really my audience no more. So then I have to revolutionise what I offer. So what I do now is more treatments that are more to kind of build elastin or your toxins. And you have to, NAD drips, because I have to conform with my audience, because we're all getting older. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's where some businesses fall, because they still try and get the audience that was them when they first started.
And it's just, it is just about tailoring it to your audience. But again, it's like, how do you know what, who your audience is? Like, you might have got loads of followers recently who are younger, who love you, who are obsessed with you. And it's like, that's what's hard about being this content creator that you've got to be, because you don't know who you're content creating for.
But then you're also coming from, like, having to be a content creator, then you're in, like, you're not a Gen Z, you're more like kind of... The dinosaur age of
millennial.
Me. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's trends though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like for us, especially in our aesthetics, I
find it's
trends.
That.
It's changing all the time. So although like you say, we might have loads of young girls on social media. I mean, I do still get quite a lot of young girls just because where I'm from. It's full of them.
Yeah, see, I just don't.
But then it's just because trends have changed for me, for instance, with the sculpture and things, that I still also have ladies who are a little bit more mature, so I've got to also have something for them.
Yeah.
Because I've had a client this morning actually who's coming for sculpture later on, and she's messaged me saying, I think I might have a bit in my lips.
Yeah.
But
naturalisation.
Natural, because I don't want to look mutton dressed as lamb.
Oh. Yeah.
But, and I'm like to her, it's only a tiny amount that you would be having in anyway, but that's her perception of lip filler.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's funny that a young girl would come and go, can you put me a full milk? Can I have all? And it's just the way the world is now, isn't it? The trends change so quick that you've got to be on trend.
It's so true.
Otherwise your sales are just dropping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I also do think with what you were saying before about loving your job.
Yeah.
I always think, and it's something I say to everybody and especially to my students, would you do this for free?
Yeah.
If your answer's no, it's not your path. Change it. Like, if somebody said to me now, later on, you've got your client in, but she's actually not paying you, I'd still go and do it.
Yeah.
I love my job.
You do.
Yeah. And if you don't, then that's when you know you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Definitely. I just think that that's, like, a major point for me. Like, it's your intentions.
Yeah.
So if your intentions are right, and it's like, I just think about manifestation, law of attraction, and all things like that. If you've got the right intentions, you will do well.
Yeah.
If you've got the wrong intentions, because I want to be like you, or I want to be like you, or I want your car, or I want this, I just don't think that that's going to work out
right. I think, and that's what it is, isn't it? It's down to like the materialistic things that you think. If your intentions are right and you're so happy in yourself, then material things, when they're took away, it's like, well, that's fine, because I still love my job and it'll come back.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. And it's always
it.
The way that you've got to look at things. And we said this on the retreat, didn't we? And they were saying, who, when we're younger, wants to be a movie star or a footballer or a millionaire? And everyone put their hands up. And then they said, but then if you took all that away now and you knew that you could have no stress and just feel from the heart again,
wow,
what would you choose? And we all said, to be able to feel from the heart again and not have to deal with the pressures of society.
So true that.
Do you get
crazy,
what I mean?
Isn't it? Like, you really, it really brings you back down to earth, that, doesn't it? When you think those little tiny things in life, do you know what I mean? But not taking away how grateful
absolutely
we all are,
yeah,
for our life, because 100%. We're so lucky to be where we are.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've all worked hard and stuff, but it really does just make it, like, the days that you used to just think, oh, I could just chill today. I don't have a chill day.
Yeah, no.
My mind is 100 yeah miles an hour.
And some days I'll go home and I think, I just want that phone to shut up.
And I'm saying, like,
I just want that to shut up. Do you get
yeah
what I mean?
But so
people
hard
do feel that pressure, don't you?
But you need it, don't you, on some days. But yeah, I get that. But we've been saying these past few weeks, like, with slowing down at work.
Yeah.
By doing, like, a facial treatment or whatever. Like, you'd have told me that a year ago, I'd have gone, facial, don't come to me.
Yeah.
I have not got an hour in there to sit and be quiet and be peaceful.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, just you come in for that hour because I need it for me.
And yeah, it's funny as well, because the course you've just done is all about, like, the chakras. And
I couldn't believe it when I got there.
It wasn't just aligned with you. Yeah.
I was like, I got in this building. It was called the Inner Light Building as well.
Wow.
So obviously I just assumed it was a big building.
Because I thought you were going to the Trafford Centre.
It was near Trafford.
Yeah, you
it
said
was
that's
over
where
that
you
way
were going, yeah.
I'm walking up and down this road and I said to this guy, can you tell me where the Inner Light Centre is? And he was like, you've just walked past it.
Yeah.
It was just a shop, like shops. And I went in and she was like, can you take shoes off at the door? I'm like, oh, okay. It's a bit weird. Anyway, when I went in, there was like this bell ringing and she had all these pictures and paintings and gurus and crystals. And
oh my God.
It just smelt of like essential yeah oils and like colourful rugs. And I was like, where am I? I said, I've come for a training course, like, I'm in the right place.
About to take a load of mushrooms.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, honestly. And then the treatment was holistic.
Wow.
She used little symbols
to tell you that.
So I've ordered them and they've come. I'm like, I sit there with these symbols. All kids quiet.
Like a little Reiki vibe.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Oh, wow.
So she does Reiki. So she was saying, if you do Reiki, there's points during this massage facial that you're going to be doing
wow
that you can put your energies into your client.
And you really need to market that, because I thought you were going to do like this face gym, which it is that you've yeah done, but I thought you're going to be smacking the face and, like, you know, everything.
And
you see quite
a
rough
bit of it. There actually was a bit.
Give me a little slap.
I actually said to her, I thought this was like face gym, like I've had in Trafford Centre.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's similar. It's all the same moves. It's just done in a slowed down version. So it was more therapeutic, a
wow
little bit more where if you're in face gym, you
just
wouldn't
intimate
be able to speak because
yeah
you would be being slapped.
Yeah.
Whereas that is slower and nobody wants to speak.
Yeah.
It was just so chilled and she did me first. I thought, oh my God, am I meant to do this woman now? Like,
oh,
I'm chilled, I won't go home and
yeah
feel like this. Anyway, she gave us a bit of a break. Then I did the woman, but I felt the same doing this woman.
Just that energy.
I felt,
yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And it's funny, isn't it, as well, how kind of like, because we're on this little journey of this, like, universal kind of alignment that you left there and you kind of sent me this guru and you were
yeah
like, he's normally based, like, in, like, what is it, an ashram?
He has an ashram in India.
In
so
India, and he's coming over to the UK.
He's doing one over here.
You should come with us, Abs.
I will, definitely.
How amazing would
so
that
whether
be?
I mean, that's, I mean, I've never been to anything like that. So a little bit like...
Well, I've never been an ashram, but I have only ever heard a bit through Jay Shetty's book, Think Like a Monk.
Yeah.
It's basically you go, you have nothing. You live with nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You just got your basics, your food and your water, and your basic food will be very, very basic, probably bread and butter.
So when you're there then, Nick, with this guru, is it more like going into like your Kundalini yoga and stuff like that? Is that what he's going to do, or
so
is
the
it
lady
more like
who's
your...
just been, which was the lady who's trained me in this training, she's just been to India to this guru's ashram, and she's been, and they do yoga.
Yeah.
They do meditation. He must have it set for the time that people go over.
Yeah.
But obviously every other day, they just live on this ashram with nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's a bit like when you went, was it Africa you went?
Yeah, I went to Africa, but I watched a thing on, it's called The Breath of Fire. Have you watched that?
No.
It's like a documentary all about it, and it's about this other guru. And it was all about like the Kundalini kind of like meditation and just really like attracting everything that's meant to be for you if you're aligned. But it does work, because when you are aligned and you're back in that kind of focus, all you ever see is like you'll see messages or angel crazy numbers and
it's mad, isn't it?
You'll put it out there and it happens and you're just like, you don't really have to work very hard for it because it just comes.
And it is all about you being aligned. Like, yeah, that's why I was saying before, you know, about that music and stuff. Yeah. It's like, when it's mad, isn't it, really? It's like not a superstition because I don't like to use that word around it, but it is. It's like, when you feel like you've seen your angel number, or
it's faith, isn't it?
Yeah, it's faith, and it's like,
you've got to believe it.
It's exactly, that. It's like you've seen your angel number, or like you've been given something during that day, or something good's happened to you in that day, and you're thinking about all these things that's happened to me today, and I've seen that thing. Yeah. Today's been a good day. That sets you up for tomorrow.
Yeah,
and then you go into tomorrow feeling positive. So then it's a knock-on effect, like a domino effect of every day being a good day. And like, it's a true saying, isn't it? Like, if you wake up negative, your day's going to be negative.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, it's like it's harder than it actually is to go through it. Like, when you're feeling negative, you're just in that mindset, aren't you?
Because I remember falling into it around about 2011, and I'd read the book, The Secret.
Oh, yeah.
And my mum's a big Catholic, and she was like, you're literally into Satanism and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm really not, mum, do you know what I mean? But I always kind of like was into it. And then before my mum died, when I took a hospital bag home after like she passed, I opened this little book and it had an elephant on the front. Now, when my nan passed, she gave me a necklace with two elephants on. And she said, I'm giving you that, Lou, because elephants look after their own. You're always going to be safe.
Oh, don't.
So elephants always become quite
a parent in your life.
Do you know what I mean? And I talk about this with animals and stuff because I spoke about the snake the other week, didn't I? But I found this book and it was like my mum wanted me to open it because it had an elephant on the front. So she probably thought, she'll open this. And inside, she'd converted. Obviously, she was always into a normal faith, but it just had lines and lines and lines just saying to the universe, please let my lungs work.
Aww.
And it was just lines and lines of it. And it was just...
No, I'm tearing up.
Yeah, comes like full circle with things. Do you get what I mean? That you just, and every time I do like anything, come to breathwork, I'll take that book with me because it's like,
and that's like your own sort of faith, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like your mum's your faith, then, isn't she?
That's it.
So like, if you see anything that your mum sort of, you know, like the way if I see my angel number, I'll think that's the universe. Like that in your case, it's like that's my mum.
That's my mum. That,
and you're doing it like for those reasons. Absolutely. Like, you know, you're like, wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Because I always say, I think what it is now, because there's so many spiritual people on in like kind of the community now, that where it used to be we'd go to kind of the church and it'd kind of be like towards God. Obviously, all we're doing is basically the universe is our modern God. We're all literally got a faith to a higher purpose.
Yeah,
it's just we've all got to have faith in something.
Same concepts.
Yeah,
just different.
I had the conversation with someone about it the other day. I don't know if it was one of kids. And they were saying, so what is the universe? Because that's all I ever said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who is this universe? So I was like, well, easiest explanation is to say God.
Yeah.
There's the higher good. There's got to be something up there, but you've also got to believe it. Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't give. You'll get so many people, which I've come across in life, who share the quotes and they'll, on social media, but they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, then they wonder why. Why am I still stuck in a rut, even though I'm sharing this and I'll say that. You don't believe it. That's the difference. Yeah. And
do you know what? I actually feel like I feel like I've always sort of believed in the law of attraction. Like, I've always understood it. When I was in my last relationship, I felt like I was young. I was in my relationship for like 13 years. So we went from being 15 to 28 or whatever together. And because I was just so happy in my life, I never had to believe in the law of attraction. I never had to think about it.
It's a frequency, isn't it?
It's a frequency. I was just living my life good. Everything that I wanted, I was getting. I was getting my house. My business was doing well. I was never thinking, right, I need to think about, thank you, universe. And I was internally grateful, or like indirectly grateful for all my life. And I was just like, getting good things happen to me all the time. And then it went until I actually hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
That I had to think, oh my God, like I need something. I need a miracle here.
Yeah.
I need something to happen for me because I am going to just deteriorate.
Yeah.
And then I think that it's only when you reach that lowest point of your life that mm-hmm. you have to believe in that greater good and think someone's got to help me here. And then yeah. that's when you sort of tailor your own beliefs, whether it's God.
Yeah.
The law of attraction, the universe, whatever it is.
Triggers it back again yourself. For you, absolutely.
And then it's a way of, like, we're all trying to get on that path, or you probably yeah. are on that path, maybe not myself, of
you will
not
be trying, now, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You'll be at this anyway.
But, yeah, just trying to get back on that path of not being so obsessed with it, but just yeah. letting it flow, like we were saying.
Absolutely.
Just letting it just happen naturally instead of just constantly worrying and being obsessing over
things that you can't control.
Things that I can't control, whereas I was never like that. Do you know what I mean?
Have your partners always been into it as well, Abs, or have you kind of no. convert them into it a
I got converted.
Bit? Oh, stop
yes.
it!
Yes,
I did, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, my ex-fella, like, that's what I was saying, we were just sort of so happy.
Yeah.
That, like, not that me and my boyfriend yeah, now are, but we were just like, we were just like two little kids loving life. Like yeah. we were just never had to think of it. We just always, if we wanted it, we'd work for it and we'd get it. We'd work hard and it yeah. would just sort of happen. Whereas now with my boyfriend, now he believes in all of that. He's been through
that.
A lot in his life. Yeah. So he's like, he's really like keen on being grateful. He's so, so grateful, wow. like unbelievably. Like every day he wakes up and he's such a positive yeah. person and he really rubs that off on me. So he's yeah. taught me.
He's very open, isn't he? Like, whenever you meet Jay, he's so open and welcoming, and you feel that energy off him.
He'd speak to you about anything.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, and he opens your eyes. He's opened my eyes for me to be a better person because of how amazing he is. So I feel like, because he's sort of practiced this throughout his whole life, he's made me do the same now, which has been amazing for me.
But you'll have attracted him.
Yeah,
I know.
You probably needed
that.
Him.
That was exactly what happened to me,
and that's
and got
funny.
Converted.
Because that's funny as well. You say that when you said you're at the rock bottom, that you said you needed a miracle.
Yeah,
and he came into your life.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like he's taught me how to be a better person. Definitely, and I'm grateful for him doing that because I don't know anyone who's been through what he's been through and just deals with life. So if I can even take an inch of how he copes, I am.
And that was that. Did that come through loss for him, Abby? Or
yeah, that come through loss for him. He's just been through so much. So when I look at my life, I feel like I've been through a lot throughout my childhood and throughout my life. But when you look at someone, and I'm so close to them, we're like inseparable. And I think, wow, like how amazing you are. Like you're my inspiration. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And it's true, isn't it? Because even like you and Andrew, you are both on that same frequency, and it just flourishes. Like even like for you, do you mean you've just got beautiful house, and I think when you're both on that same page,
just
the frequency
constantly
is higher and higher 100%. And higher. Do you know what I mean?
There's that saying, isn't there, where it's like if you and your partner aren't aligned with the same goals, like you'll never get there. But if you are aligned, it'll increase your chances faster or whatever. So. Yeah. We always try and make sure that we've got the same goals. We'll do like our little vision board. He's put it on his phone and all
stop.
That. Yeah. But we're obsessed right now. We're just in work mode right now to just try and better our life. Since we've got this house, we're just so motivated. So, we're just trying to do it together, basically. Yeah.
That's brilliant, though, isn't it?
And I think if you're on it together, I honestly know for a fact, if I had not have met Andrew, I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing now. Because I'd have just continued living my life how I always lived it.
Yeah.
But I thought at the time that life was normal and that was all I ever knew.
Yeah.
So to then be given, like I'd said, the book to read, and like at the beginning I was thinking, what on earth is that? But it changed my life.
Wow.
And then now, because I know that he believes as much as I believe and the things that Andrew's been through, and he's still being so consistent with his life, that I know it works.
Yeah.
And I know by watching him that it's worked for him. It's going to work for me. You've just got to believe in it. So then now you can work together.
Yeah.
It becomes a partnership where even though you've got a relationship, whether I'm not saying that it would never work if your partner doesn't believe.
Yeah.
But I do think it's so much easier. Like Andrew knows that if I'm going to work, like this morning I've left the house and early, and he knows I'll not be home till late. No, if he didn't believe and understand how I was thinking, it'd be, where are you?
Oh my God, that's so true.
Come on, we've got four kids in this house. And then I start getting the back end of it and I start being ratty back and then you're arguing and you're falling out, it's never going to work.
No.
Whereas he understands, he's like, you go and do your day, love, enjoy your day and I'll see you in a bit.
Work hard. Yeah. Love that.
So I do think it works. Yeah,
you've really submersed into all this life now, haven't you? Like, last week.
Not going back. I am not going back to that old life. The old life.
The old life.
Yeah. Obviously, after this retreat.
I introduced Nick to the retreat last week that I mentioned to you before. Mm. And you were in a bit of a bubble for a week. It was quite hard. Like, you were literally.
I was like, I can't even go on my phone.
Really?
Who's that messaging me again, Nick and where?
Stop it. In your own little bubble, was you?
I didn't want to come out of it.
Didn't you?
But then, no, I feel like since I've been in them few days of just taking it all in, I've been able to have a little word with myself as it's fine to go back into normality because that's what you're going to have to live in for the rest of your days. But just understanding that other people, I've got to let them be them.
Yeah, 100%.
I can't change or fix them or control them. So just do what you're doing and
stay in your own lane and do you.
Yeah, and if they're not meant to be in my life, they might have been there for that small amount of time and I'm grateful for that time.
Yeah.
But you've just got to let people go sometimes.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, love them from afar. That was one thing that I took away.
Yeah.
You can still love from a distance.
Yeah.
And they can still be a part of your life once a month maybe, but just not every day.
I think that's a huge thing, isn't it, with anything. It's like a loss of anything. So I am very emotional. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm like? I cry at the top of an ass at anything. So feel like if anyone else is like me, it's a struggle losing anything. Yeah. I mean, the house that I lived in for 27 years, do you know what I mean? Like, even losing that a person or knowing that you're not as close to someone, if you overthink about that or you obsess over it, it ends up ruining you. But that person might not have ever meant to be for you.
Yeah.
Might have just helped you during the period and you are where you are because of that period and it's ready for them to go now. And I think it's understanding and accepting that things will come and go, whether it's materialistic things or whether it's personal relationships or anything like that. And I think that's one thing I struggle to accept is change. I can't cope with it.
Yeah. I used to be like that a little bit, kind of really, really struggled with change. And it was just like, but then it comes down to control thing, isn't it? It's
control.
Because you can't control it. That you're a bit like, oh. And I think, like I mentioned, that book, The Untethered Soul, that we've read, that really kind of helps you drop from the mind to the heart space. And it's a bit like, I can't control that and that's okay, but it's okay because something else is coming.
Yeah.
And it's kind of thinking like that, isn't it, a little bit?
And it's controlling that mindset, I think, which is a very hard thing to do. Like,
absolutely.
I think, obviously, you've been through a lot yourself in terms of, like, your own personal journey.
Yeah.
So you are now where you are and you're able to control them thoughts, whereas I'm very erratic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't control my thoughts.
I'm going to buy you this book.
Buy me this book because I need this, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I listened to The Untethered Soul first as an audio and I think sometimes once you've done an audio, I'm struggling so much at minute to read a book because I'm just audioing all the time. But when I read it, it was different. It was completely different actually reading the book than it was listening to it.
It was like
I'd read two different books.
Really?
But it still had the same meaning at the end of it. Yeah. But I could take it in more reading it. And if you want to recap over it, it's right there, isn't it? And you can sort of give yourself a minute to understand that section. If you think, oh, I don't get that, I'll sort of move on.
Yeah.
Keep reading it because eventually it does make sense.
I feel like that's my problem. Like, I read a book, I'll read half of it, and I am, as I've said, ADHD to my eyeballs. So I'll be reading pages and I will get to the 50th page and think, I've been thinking about that work the whole time. I haven't listened to a word.
Yeah. And you've got to go back to the beginning again.
And I'm thinking, oh, and then the book's gone then. And I'm just like, it's focusing, isn't it? I've always thought about this audio thing. There's nothing better than actually being able to just read a book and take it in, is it?
If you're audioing and you're a bit like, I was always brain ticking, tick, 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 I would step up headphones on to listen. Because if I can control it now, but back when I first started, if I was in my car and he had audio on, I'd still be thinking, right, what stock do I need order for tomorrow? What do I need time? Do I need pick kids up? What are we having for tea? And that audio, I've not even listened to.
Yeah.
Whereas when you've got your headphones on and it's like just you.
In your head.
And you give yourself that time, sit somewhere quiet, even if it's just in your bedroom on your own and you know no one's going to come in. Even if it's 10 minutes, it's just 10 minutes.
It's giving yourself that time, isn't it? Like I always listen to podcasts in the bath.
Yeah.
I'll go to my mum's, I haven't got a bath now, so I'll go to my mum's and I'll put the podcast on in the corner and I will just sit there and I will take in everything that podcast is saying. But again, my attention span, I've literally got 20 minutes. to listen to the podcast, but listen to some amazing ones and took on so much sort of advice that they've been putting out there, which has helped me. So, yeah, I think it's even like 20 minutes. They say like 20 minutes a day or a few pages a day. Absolutely. Don't be
I think that's why it become my non-negotiable kind of getting on a yoga mat, because it just centres you. Whereas I used to go to Pilates or like a gym class and I'd just be like, oh, get me out of here, I can't be bothered. I get on that mat now and I just go, whoosh,
Zen.
And it just focuses me back, do you know what I mean? And then gummies by.
Oh, yeah. Give us a bit of
that. Oh, my God, I was rattling the other week. I was like, where's these gummies? Freaking hell, but so let's wrap it up then. Let's talk about our weekly wine.
Oh, weekly wine, what do you mean?
What's your kind of thing that's really pissed you off this week, Abs?
Oh, loads. My whole life. where I would just say the struggle to be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, struggling to be consistent at the moment. Yeah. Like, that one thing that I actually have started doing for myself to make every day consistent is, don't know whether you're the same as me, but I write lists for days.
Yeah.
I've got pads full of lists and I will overwhelm myself and I'll make it unrealistic for me to actually tick off those lists.
Yeah.
Like whatever I've wrote. So I've basically done like my non-negotiable, which is my must-do section. I've done my columns.
Yeah.
My must-do section. My second column is me should do. So like I should really go and get the paint for the bedroom today.
Yeah.
But am I gonna do it? I don't really know. It's not gonna hurt me if I don't go and get it, but I should do it. And then my last column is nice to do, which might be prepping Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's have a little look at inspo. But my non-negotiable are all the things that make me money in that day.
Yeah.
If I don't do them, I'm not anywhere further than I need to be.
And you can't do column two or three then
either. Can't do column two or three. Well, if I haven't done one, then I can't do two or three because they're pointless. So you need to do one first. Once you've done all them, you can do all your lovely things in the day.
Yeah.
That has really centered me, you know, and I just think if I do that every day now, I'll be consistent. So yeah, one thing that I've proper struggled with lately is consistency.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well done for doing your little column, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, isn't that good?
So yeah, I'm hoping that that'll make me... That's I mean, I've point. Still got lists like that on this column. But yeah, I'll be like that later.
I'll be like that myself later with me.
That might be something we'll bring out to our own little booth.
I know, I did this yesterday. I was like, I might bring a little daddy on. This is what a daddy needs.
Yeah, get this on Amazon.
Yeah.
What about yours, Nick?
I'm going to say that this week, I've had a couple really, like, I've not really given myself the time to spend with kids as much because all I've done is work. And I have sort of said I need to be a bit more in the moment when I'm with kids.
Yeah.
That's something I've let slip this week, which is a bit annoying, but it is what it is. I can deal with that. You know, it's not end of world. But also criticising myself. I've done it a lot this week.
Really? Oh, no, Nick. Why?
Not just me as a... Just me, Luke and things like that. Like,
you haven't.
If I've spoke to someone, I'll go, ignore these greys. Yeah, do you know stuff like that? And it's only very minor and it can be changed, but I don't know why I do it.
No, I don't, because you're unbelievable.
When David said about us, when you were saying, I might sound stupid saying this.
Yeah.
And we're talking about ourselves in the moment and we don't realise
we do it. It's like you walked in and you went, oh, ignore my eyebrows and I'm looking at you thinking, wow, this girl's next level. Do you know what I mean? That's the last thing. I was looking at you like, you're honestly gorgeous.
Last week you'll come on with no makeup on.
I know.
So you had the confidence last week, but then it feels like this week I think I've picked
myself apart as well.
Oh, bad.
And then it's just been an ongoing thing.
Yeah, like you've thought, I haven't spent time with the kids, I haven't done this, and you never know like where that sort of mindset's got you. And it's obviously
probably
got you
nothing to do with our Luke, it'll be something else.
Something's distracting or like you're offsetting in a way.
Oh, well, you're my supermodel girl.
Well, thank you. So next week, it won't be happening.
It won't.
No.
Full set of lashes.
Not next week. As of now.
As of now. Yeah. What's yours, Claire?
Mine's to get out of this rut.
What rut?
Yeah, do you know what? I've realised I've not been out since your birthday, by the way.
You're lying to me.
I swear to God, I've not had a proper night out since your
birthday. Sure, Claire. When was November?
That was November. I went out, for my friend Kaylee's birthday to Louis in January, but it was just a meal.
Yeah.
I got so rotten.
Love Kaylee.
She's a ball.
The ball of balls.
We have to get her on, actually, because she's got a really good story to tell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's so good.
But yeah, and so I went out then, but it was just a meal. And yeah, even down to get my nails done, couldn't be bothered to go and get them done, couldn't be bothered to do anything. And then yesterday, my cousin come over when I got my hands, my toes done, my brows, my hair's getting done tomorrow. But I think it's because the sun's back out.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That I'm coming out of the rut again now because I've just been on such a like self-development period, which I made up for because I feel like I'm coming back a little more glowy. Do you get what I mean? It's I needed it. That's it.
I swear, I'm exactly the same. As soon as I've seen that sun, I thought my life's all together.
I know.
I mean, my life, I have got it all put together.
I'm like, I drop on it.
I'm like, I'm a millionaire now. I was worried about money last week. I'm like, that's this week. Love and life, I swear, you start to feel glowing again. You want to wear your shorts. You want to get the gym. Like, it's mad. That's why I just think, and it's an actual fact, isn't it? The sun does make you
glowing. I must have that SAD disease.
I've got it, Claire.
I must have it because today I felt brilliant again and I was like, okay, I'm ready to kind of play again.
Yeah.
With it all, but... Yeah, so that's my
one. I think
one.
You go through phases though, don't you?
Like yeah.
You'll go out, you'll go on your ball, but then you'll think, I'm in now.
Yeah.
Like before you went to Africa.
I did
you were
the
in,
same, yeah.
Wasn't you? Like you didn't go out all the time or whatever. Like, yeah. No, I'm going here and stuff like that. So, but I don't think that's a bad way to be.
No, absolutely.
I think that's the best way to be.
Yeah, because I've done so much in the time when I have been kind of just in my own little self space and that, but then I did realise today when I got my hair blue, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to play
out. Bring on a season. Be for season.
Actually, sorry, tell a lie. That night I'd seen you after Sunny Federa. Sober.
Was
and
she?
I ended up I going
felt like
home.
You were sober.
Yeah, I was so sober. And someone come up to me and like there and went, can you please pretend that you look like you're having a good time?
That's she not like you.
I know.
What
and
the
I went,
hell?
I'm sorry, I'm just dead sober. And that. But someone to come up to me.
What did
they
want you to do? Do the splits?
Like, do you want to see my new yoga poses?
I know, yeah. What I've been doing.
Yeah. Look at me, you do the downward dog.
Oh, I just can't cope with people like that. You know, don't ruin my vibe because I'm more like than that.
Well, Abs, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
you're
you.
A huge inspiration, isn't she?
We've had more.
I really, really love like kind of how raw and open you've been in. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
So how can people follow you? Tell everyone to the audience.
Oh, yeah, just on Instagram or the website or whatever, but mainly the Instagram for all the sneak peeks and the TikTok, really.
TikTok.
Going to be posting more on TikTok. Like, that's what I was saying to you as well, this podcast was, and I like posting more raw content. Yeah, loads of BTS and stuff like that. So yeah, just all of our socials, really.
Oh, well, so proud of you, Abs. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.